Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So this morning, I had a conversation with someone recently, and I shared with them some things that I've learned along the way, because I'm old enough that I can learn something. I have history. And so I tried to bring out of the storeroom of what God put in my life to give to them, if it would be some benefit they could pick and choose out of that, what I shared with them, of how it could maybe get them to think a little different and to bring greater encouragement and ease where we sometimes make our faith difficult, a little more ease when it comes to hearing God's voice and our own thoughts. You know, we battle in that distance sometimes, right, between what did God say to me and promise me opposed to what am I thinking, perceiving, or hoping God said to me, as if I could convince him to make me a promise so that he would meet this need in my life. And we struggle in between there. And so we talked a little bit about that, and I shared with him just where I have come as my own private schooling with the Lord over the years. So this morning, I don't know that this is so much a sermon, to be honest with you, of what you may consider a sermon. I really just want, and we're going to look at some scripture, but I want to share with you something that I want you to consider when you are looking for a guarantee from God to do something, and when you look at the scripture and you look at promises and you try to take those and apply them to you in your situation, which sometimes it's different than the situation the promise was made, but sometimes the promise is universal for all of us, regardless of circumstance or situation. So sometimes we try to, if we don't feel like we got that promise from God, and we try to grab something out of scripture to kind of give us ease or hope, as if we can leverage God into making a promise. Because, you know, if he promises, he is a God who keeps promises. He delivers. So I want to reference a couple of scripture verses here, and I want to talk about this, okay? Because I've seen myself over my Christian life go through a lot of labor over, did he promise this? Is it my wishful thinking? Is he going to do this? Will he do this? I prayed, I fasted, I did some biblical things. Therefore, God must, or I hope he does. And so I want to use a passage here that you're very familiar with, where it talks about trusting God. Okay? It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, the way you live, acknowledge him or submit to him. And then if we do that, he will direct our path or make our path straight. I want you to know that if we will do this, he promises, this is a promise. If we trust the Lord and we obey him, we submit to him, we acknowledge him, he will direct your steps. Now, if we really believe that, it eliminates anxiety and stress about our circumstance, our situation, our daily life, and our future. So, as I've grown in the Lord and we hear these popular verses, I had to break this down, and I've watched this happen in my life. I know I'm a pastor, and some of you may think me more spiritual than I am, and you think, Pastor, everything he does, God just told him to go here and do that and do this and do this. Stop here, turn around, go here. Where? It's just, ooh. I do not float on that level. Sorry to disappoint three of you who thought that. It's about obeying Him. It's about honoring Him. We need to grow in that in our life. As we do that, it says He directs our steps. I can't tell you, only God could keep track of how many times He has swerved me into the truth, or into opportunity, or into an answer, or to bump into somebody who needed something and He was going to use me. You've experienced this in your life, okay? This happens to me all the time. I can't take credit for it. I've got to make sure I'm doing the personal and right thing with Him and I, and then He makes my path straight. He steers me. I've had things happen to me that we would consider it's bad. It broke down, you were stranded, you went here, it turned out you didn't need to be there, and all of a sudden, through these things, opportunity shows up for a person. And it was like, this wasn't about the broken truck. This was about the person that I bumped into. And it wasn't always for them. Sometimes it was for me. And so I look at that, and He's directing our steps and our path. Have there been times where I have stepped off His path or done my own thing in my lifetime? Yes, of course. I'm so glad that He chases and doesn't give up and contends with us by His grace and mercy and moves us back, right? Never out of reach. He's got a long reach. He's got a patient reach. And so when it comes to things in our life, I want us to get to a place where our faith isn't so much that God is going to answer this prayer and we've got to convince, we've got to try to tell Him why He needs to make a promise to us, or we take something out of Scripture and we try to make it a promise, like He promised us to give us peace of mind, like we got a guarantee. I want us to move to a place to trust Him. I want you to hear this. God wants to do good to you. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be without difficulty or trial, because you know as well as I do, if you've been around a while, that out of that stuff, good things happen in us. And He is more concerned about who you are and who you become than the things of this life. So here you are, and you're saying, God, if I could just have a guarantee that You would heal my kid, provide for me here, do this, do that, give me this job, whatever it is. If You could just give me a guarantee, if You could just give me a promise, if You could just... And we go through these things and say, well, maybe I don't have enough faith. Well, that can be partly true, right? Maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe I sin too much. Well, that could be true. But we're talking about our condition. I want you to remember the condition of God. Who He is. You see, when we try to get a guarantee in those desperate moments or in the desire moments where we just really want something, we're trying to present our case to God. Now, we should always pray. We should always ask. He instructs us to do that. I am not suggesting to you, don't pray about anything, just trust God and flow through life. That's not biblical at all. We're supposed to ask. We're supposed to seek. We find out that we can negotiate with God. We can have a conference with Him. We have the ability, we've seen it in Scripture, where there's been a couple of people who have changed God's mind over something. How beautiful is that? We also see God relent from things. We've seen Him change His mind where He said, if this continues, this is what's going to happen. Then He was about to do it, and He relented. He didn't do it. so thankful for those things in our life, in the history of humanity. It gives us a scope of the condition of God, who He is. You see, when we go through this kind of turmoil, and I've watched people do it, especially when a great need shows up, just give me a promise, or they have a major decision, and they're just looking for a guarantee. They're looking for something to somehow bring them peace that God is going to do this thing. I want you to know that it hints of two things for us when we do that. One is that maybe we don't know God like we think we do. Just consider that. Okay? That we don't know God quite like we think we do. And secondly, and maybe firstly, is we don't understand the foundation of the relationship that God and an individual have. You and God. Let's talk about that first, just briefly. Do you understand the foundation of relationship with God? Is love. He loves you. Talks about humanity in Israel. You're the apple of my eye. Of all the earth, of all creation, it's you. Not all this other stuff. Of all creation, all the beauty, all the things you can see, it's you. You are His favorite. Amen. Amen. He, Christ, died for us while we were yet sinners. For God so loved that He sent His only begotten Son. Right? You look throughout the Scripture, and God has everything to do with loving humanity. Why do you think He went to the cross? It was to save humanity for those who would believe. The whole foundation of His relationship with you, the foundation is love. What does the Scripture say? God is, He is love. So understand that the guarantee in this life, no matter what we face, the guarantee is not in just the promises He makes in His Word to us, or that He reveals to you by His Holy Spirit, where God speaks to you and says, this is what I'm going to do, or this is what I'm about to do, or don't you worry about this because this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to do, or this is going to happen. And He tells you, and you are like, that I know is not me. He spoke to me. He prompted me. He gave me revelation by His Holy Spirit. That's why one of the reasons the Holy Spirit is so important. The Holy Spirit, Scripture says, knows the mind of God. And the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, therefore He can reveal the mind of God. And you and I, because we are favored by Him, He can reveal the truth to you. He can reveal future things to you. He can reveal the moment things to you. His Spirit is at work. And so we've got to build this relationship with this God who loves us. This is the foundation. Now, we struggle with that. Listen, I'm sorry. I really am. This is not just a phrase to me. I am sorry that most all of us have some sort, to some level, of daddy issues. Our human fathers, some of them great guys, some of them scoundrels, somewhere on the scale, right? And I'm sorry that you and I carry some baggage from the relationship that we had with our earthly fathers, and now it messes us up. It messes us up with our human, or sorry, our heavenly Father. We carry some baggage. And we can say what we like, but it's impacted us in the whole area of trusting. Because this is the thing about promises. The promise is as only as good as the person who makes it. You've had, just like me, people promise things, guarantee things, tell you things that they were going to do or they were going to provide or they were whatever it is. And they didn't come through. And they would promise again. And you and I, being resilient and probably young when some of this happened, we just said, okay, great, guarantee, new chance, okay. And then didn't happen. And now when the promise comes, I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. We're negative, we're about, and so broken promises. So then people come along in our life and make promises, and now we're like, I don't know, I haven't had a real good history and experience with the whole promise type of idea in my life. And so now when it comes to God, we hear about his promises, God speaks and gives a promise, and yet we want a promise in our heart, even though we're broken, carry some history and baggage, we so desperately in our heart, we want a promise, and we want the promise to come through. And especially from God, because he works on a whole nother dynamic of ability than just humanity. He's able to do the supernatural. He's able to intervene. He has the power, the authority. Hell cannot stop him. The devil cannot stop him. He has all authority. And he loves you. And so we got a problem with this. And so when we're looking to God for a guarantee and for him to make a promise to give us some type of peace of mind and ease and remove anxiety, and so we go through a lot of emotional, mental, spiritual gymnastics. We battle between God's voice and our own thoughts. We do things like this. Well, did he really say that to me? How do I know it was his voice? Oh, maybe it was just my thinking. But I was weeping in prayer when I felt this. Therefore, it must be true. I was driving down the road, and a billboard was, look, I glanced at it, and there it was. The very thing I prayed about it, and it's a sign. Now, I want you to know, God does that. All kinds of signs. He still does them. But was it my thought and not really God? And then we can get frustrated with God and disappointed with God because somehow it doesn't work out like we hoped and prayed and planned, and therefore we think you broke the promise. Or then we start to get real introspective and say, well, maybe he never made the promise. Well, now I don't know that I can hear God's voice or not. And I can't really trust myself, and I don't know that I can trust him. And we just layer this. We just layer this on ourselves. And it affects our attitude, our heart, our stability, our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with people. It affects how we worship when we come to church and in our own private life and walk with it. We just get... all because we're just desperate for a promise. We're desperate for a guarantee. We're desperate to know that I've heard from heaven. And it wasn't just, you know, my thought and in my head. I want to remind you, the foundation of the relationship with God is love. He loves you. You're going to have some hard times. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Listen. I'm an earthly father, and I'm flawed. I'm not a perfect father in heaven. And I will tell you, from the perspective of things in my life with God, in my personal relationship with him, he has influenced me, and so there's things where I take a very different perspective than I naturally would or the way that I was raised. And nothing wrong with the way I was raised. It's just that God is, you know, my relationship with him is different. It's my own. And so he has shown me some things. I hoped, though I love our children, we always wanted to rescue them, protect them, and nothing harm them, and they just want to be so, just sheltered and just be, but still be okay and be sociable and okay, but just not, don't be touched by the world and all that. as they developed, I hoped that they would fail, not in life. They would fail, that they'd make a mistake, that they would be challenged, that they would be oppressed, that they should ride the bench when they should really be on the court. All of this stuff. It's not where I wanted them to permanently stay, but I wanted them to experience that and experience it while they're still at home with Sue and I, so that they could see how a loving father and mother would listen to them, instruct them, care for them, and allow them to understand as much as possible with God's help how to deal with the father who loves them, mother who loves them, who is there to rescue them so they don't bring permanent damage to themselves, but also allow them to struggle so that they would develop and grow and they would begin to understand that they can count on God and trust God. And we're here to model and to help and do that, so that they would become responsible followers of Jesus Christ. And as they go on, they would have less daddy issues as possible, because it would affect them spiritually with their Father in heaven. And they would understand that they're still going to have some difficulties in life, but it doesn't mean the Father doesn't love them. And so those things have had to unfold in my own life through time as a kid and growing up, that he was making deposits in me and bringing revelation through time to some understanding, so that when things happen, I do not have to falter to stress, anxiety, go through a lot of gymnastics to trust God. Now, I still get tested in this. I still get tempted in this. But boy, it's not where I was at. And so as I shared with this individual, it wasn't so much a sermon in my office. It was to tell him about this thing. And I realized afterwards, and I just sensed from the Lord, just like, you know, I gave that to you for your life, but you've never preached on this. You've never taught on it. Because there are things that are personal to me with the Lord that I learn. It doesn't mean I have to share it from the pulpit. There are things I share in confidence with people that I never talk about in a pulpit. But it was like, you know, my people, they wrestle and they layer this. And it's because of two reasons. One, they don't know me as well as they think. Okay? And secondly, they don't understand the foundation of the relationship I have with them. Because of some human experiences and human relationships, they forget the foundation of relationship I have with them is out of my love for them. I want you to hear that. I don't care how dark your past is. That does not change God's love for you. So, this whole knowing God, like we don't know him like we maybe think we do. You see, we come up with some strange theologies when it comes to trying to get a guarantee from God, a promise from God. If God, if you would just say this, then I could count on it, then I won't worry. We still do. You get a promise from God, you and I, we still falter with some of that, some to different degrees than others. And so What I want us to understand in this whole trusting God because we know him. You heard me say a moment ago, the promise is no good if the person who makes the promise is faulty. Your Father in heaven, he is perfect. He is the perfect Father for you. He knows you. He knows your history. He knows what makes you tick. He knows your gifts. He knows your flaws. He knows your temptations. He knows your successes. He knows all. He knows. And so he knows how to father you perfectly. There are some general things about God as a father that pertains to all of us. But he also deals with you as an individual. We see this in Jesus throughout the parables. We see it in the Old Testament, God talking to individuals. And I want you to know, though you and I are not in the pages by name, God doesn't change. He still deals with people individually, not just as a group. And so you vary a little bit from the person next to you. There might be similarities, but he knows how to father you perfectly. Because the foundation is love, you and I should be drawn to him, and we should get close to him more. Because you and I, this is, and I want you to listen to this, our guarantee of him doing things in our life is not just based upon his promise of whether he promised to do it or not. Our guarantee is in the person of God himself. He's the one that makes the promises. Listen, Jesus said it this way, you fathers who are earthly are flawed. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to his children? So here's the principle. I knew how to give good gifts to my children. And define good as, you know, what we found acceptable and they wanted. Okay? We didn't get them everything they wanted. There you go, parents. Don't try to make up for what went wrong or what you didn't do or whatever happened in the background of the damage. Don't think, oh, I've got to make up for it, so I just got to say yes to everything and buy them everything and, you know, give them Candyland. And I don't mean the game board, just life philosophy of Candyland. Okay, that ain't going to solve that. That's a masking thing. It doesn't solve it. It doesn't resolve those things. So, my children, they got good gifts from a flawed dad. God's perfect, perfect father. So, here's the thing about God doing good to you. Do you realize that I did good things for my children that I never promised them? Pause. Think about that. We do good things for our children that we never promised them. We promised them things, and if we're a good parent, we did the things we promised. I mean, there are things I ask, and I can't promise that. There's no guarantee. I don't know that I'm going to get that. I don't know that we're going to do that. I don't know that we're going to send you there. I don't know. You know, I don't know. And that frustrates church. They got to figure it out, all of that. But it's the development of the person, development of their faith. And so, through this process, God is talking to me. He's been showing me in my life. And I realize, like this is a big revelation, he does things for me that he never promised to do. I do things for my children and other people, my wife, that I never promised to do. Somehow we fall into a theology in our Christian walk when we have trouble that we want God to promise. We want him to tell us. We want to take some scriptures and try to work it into our thing so we can say, see, you promised. Now you have to do this. As if God only does the things that he gives promises to. How poor of an understanding of who God is if we believe that. He does things for you and I on our behalf that he never promised because he's just good. And it's just because he loves you. So now, when I'm looking for a guarantee in this life, give me a promise, give me a guarantee, you're going to do what I ask and do what I say and do it, blah, blah, blah. I can pray about it. I can ask him about it. It's not wrong. But I have to remember that my guarantee is in him as a person, not just what he promises, but my trust in his character, that he is going to be good to me. Even if he doesn't say yes to what I'm asking, he is still going to be good, and he's going to be good to me. He is going to be good to you. I can't just expect him to be good to me and just walk in disobedience to him all the time. Well, that's not right. The Bible talks about that. How can I ask God of anything good when I'm not, right? So what I want you to consider in your life is that you don't have to go through all these gymnastics about God's promises, that you're not sure of promise. Am I making it up? Am I, you know, all this stuff. Do I have enough faith? Do I have enough? Those are all good questions, but it creates more anxiety because we don't really know God as a loving Father when he also does things that we don't ask him for. I've done it as a father. I've done it as a friend. I've done it as a husband. I just did it the other day. And this was a $20 item. It wasn't like a lot of money. We have a propane grill. It's older. I've done repairs. So far, it hasn't blown up anything. Sue likes and prefers her food over a charcoal grill. Now, I do too. But to do that, you have to plan. You got to ignite this stuff, burn this stuff for 2 hours before it's ready to cook something, right? I'm exaggerating a little, but you get my frustration. I want to let's put it on the grill. This is done in 10 minutes, and let's move on. Okay? That's a little exaggerated, but kind of my mentality for some things. That's why I like a smoker. Put it in there, do the thing, leave it. Oh, I'm late an hour. So what? Right? So, I know she wants one. I never promised. But me being a wonderful and loving husband that I am, I love her. I do. I love her. Say what you want. I'm not perfect, but I love her. You know? I hope it's obvious. So I went, when I was doing some errands, and I went and splurged on a $20 charcoal barbecue thing. Now, I love her. I had to put the thing together. And I did it according to the Chinese language. That took time. Because then when I got to the bottom of the box and all of the parts were out and most of them were put together, there was another piece of paper. That was in English. So, I put it together. Didn't promise her. Never guaranteed it. Within the context of human goodness, there's a measure of human goodness in the work of the Lord. Goodness. I did something for her because I love her, not because I promised. And there it was in the driveway, all put together properly. No extra parts, no missing parts. A couple of bent pieces, but it's okay. And 2 bags of charcoal. So when she pulls into the driveway, she stops you. You got a barbecue and a grill. I'm like, that is God to you. He will do things in your life that he never promised. You may or may not have asked. You may have just thought about it. You may have been, you know, oh, gee, it'd be nice to work there. He didn't pray about it. And then lo and behold, down the road, an opportunity shows up and you're working there. Sue and I, we lived in Hibbing, Minnesota. We're driving around looking for a house. We couldn't find anything in our range, anything that looked decent. We're driving around, and we go past the house, and it's not for sale. Remember this? See, that? Why isn't that house for sale? That'd be a nice house. God was listening. Some point later, this house has a real estate sign in front of it. I didn't ask for the house. I didn't go march around their property. Say, don't mind me. I'm just marching around your property three times, okay? And at the end, I'm going to shout to the Lord, but don't freak out. Right? Didn't do any of that. Now, I have appreciation for that story, and I have appreciation for the expression of faith. But I want you to know that God will do things for you, with you, in you, help you, through you, that you didn't pray about, that you didn't ask, because He loves you. So don't go through all the additional exhausting, straining, and stress and anxiety. I got to convince God to do this. I want to, listen, my children, through the years of raising them, I did things for them that I didn't promise, but I listened along the way, like the $20 grill barbecue. And we get them something. And I remember this happening on occasion, or even my wife would say, oh, I had a feeling, you know, that we were going to go there, or we were going to do this, or you were going to get this for me, or you were going to, you know, we were going to go play ball, or we were going to, you know, I just had this feeling. I knew it. Ah! And they get excited. Why did they have that feeling? Because they knew their dad. I'm their guarantee. Not just my promises. And who I am is their guarantee to do things for them that they never asked or that I never promised. Your guarantee is in the promises of God, because His word is who He is. But I want you to know, when you begin to really know God, you know that you can trust Him. You can trust Him. It's not trying to leverage Him into making a promise so that you can, yay. You can talk to Him. You can pray to Him. But He's watching you. And He loves you. And He knows our flaws. And He knows our past. He knows the corruption that still is lurking in us that we need perfecting with. I don't want you going through unnecessary gymnastics. You and I need to go through spiritual disciplines. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to ask. We need to seek. We need to knock. We need to be obedient. All of those things that He calls us to, a responsible person, responsible in the faith by which we have been saved by His grace. But to layer ourselves and go through condemnation or frustration with God, and I just need a guarantee. Your guarantee has already been given to you. He's your Father. The guarantee is in who He is, not just the promises He makes. I want this to encourage your life. I want you to consider this, that you can walk today, regardless of what's going on, whether you've prayed about it or not prayed about it. If you should be, then bring everything to Him, as the Scripture says. But at the end of that, you can still walk out and say, God is good. I'm not going to stress over this. I'm not going to layer myself with condemnation. I'm not going to have resentment towards God, and He doesn't listen, and this Christianity doesn't work. No. My guarantee, your guarantee, is in who God is. The guarantee for my kids was in who their dad was, is as a person, not just what I promised. so they could be free, freer from anxiety, stress, worry. Listen, the Apostle Paul, he prayed about something very serious. We don't know what it is. It didn't say it in the scripture. People have guessed. It doesn't matter what it is. He said, the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. I sought the Lord three times about it. Three. Which is, for me, that's not a big number. I'm thinking that's it. He sought the Lord three times about it, and Paul just kept moving on. Kept following God. Kept the spiritual battle. Kept going. How could he do that? Because he knew God. And he trusted his guarantee is in who God is. Not just what God said, promised, or didn't promise. He knew he could count on God. Do you know that you can count on God whether he made you a promise over something specific or not? Don't fall into the category that God probably is not going to do this because he didn't promise it. That is really poor theology. That's going to mess you up, okay? And you're carrying that over from some human perspective or some brokenness in your human relationships in the past. And now you're making God pay for their sins in your relationship with him. And he's going, do you not know? Do you not know how much I love you? Get this image in closing. Jesus sits there and he overlooks Jerusalem. Do you remember this? And he wept. And he said, how often I have wanted to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks. But they didn't believe. There were too many issues. Too many distractions. Too many concerns about life. I want you to know, he said, listen, when you get in these mental gymnastics, well, he just says, listen, I just want to gather you to myself. I love you. I know your pain. I know your frustration. I know your history. I know, listen, breathe. For my burden, right, is light. And my yoke is easy. Stop stressing anxiety and worry about whatever it is you face, even if God didn't make a promise about it or yet. Don't think for a moment that he's not going to do good on your behalf. Stand up, please. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. What God has in store for those who love him. Listen to Jeremiah. Blessed is the man, person, who trusts in the Lord. Trusts. Whether I hear a promise, whether I have a guarantee or not, he's my guarantee. He's my all in all. The guarantee is him. It's not the promises. It's the promise keeper. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in God. See, our confidence has to be in God, whether we have a promise or not, whether we feel him guiding us or not. No, my confidence is in him. He's my guarantee. So if I love him, I'm going to trust him, right? Paul wrote it this way. Love always trusts. That foundation. Start hanging out with him. Start reading about him. Start living and inviting him in. When stuff tries to rob you with stress and anxiety and God's probably not going to do it because I can't find a scripture for it. God's probably not going to do it because he didn't promise me. God's probably not going to do it because he didn't send some to me with a prophetic word. That's bad theology. We don't know God if we're on that page. We don't know who he is. So I want to encourage you today. Get to know him more. Okay? Understand and embrace, regardless of your baggage, that the foundation of your relationship with God is based on pure, perfect love who comes down from him. He wants to do good to you, in you, through you, for you. And remind yourself, oh yeah, he does things. He does things for me, for my family, that he never promised to do. He does them because he's good. So I want you to bow your head with me. Father in heaven, Father in heaven, Father, you are good, and you alone are good. And you do things that you promise, everything. You never miss a promise. But you're so generous and attentive that you do things on our behalf that you didn't promise to do. So help us to look to your word to know who you are and the promises that are there for us. And prevent us, Holy Spirit, from manipulating scripture to try to convince ourselves and God himself that he's made a promise that he really didn't. Rather, help us grow up and know him, and just know that we can count on him. We can count on you, God. We can count on you. We want to say you are our God, and we are your people. So help us live from that perspective, that foundation, that truth, with a more stress-free, anxiety-free soul and life, and relationships, and walk with peace. Walk with a confidence in you, who you are, because you watch and you care and you correct and you instruct. So Holy Spirit, for those who hear this, for myself, establish this truth in us, that we can just count on you because you are good.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.